We have been asked to speak on an interesting topic, which is called A Life of Integrity and Character. And we are going to base our message on the life of Daniel. And I pray that God will give us insight to understand what is the heart of this message. Amen. Now, when we ask ourselves, when we say a life of integrity and character, we need to start with definitions, and we need to ask ourselves, what is the meaning of integrity? What is the meaning of character? Now, when we look at integrity, there are many, you know, definitions that are there in the dictionary, but I will summarize it this way, that it is an alignment in thought, in your character, in your actions, and in your life to the truth. I'll repeat that. Integrity is an alignment, is alignment in your thought, in your character, in your actions, and in your life to truth. And then, and you know, when we say truth, someone will ask, what is truth? And you remember the encounter of Jesus with Pilate in John chapter 18, verse 37. Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you rightly say that I am a king. For this cause I was born into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And Pilate said to him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no fault in him. So when we ask ourselves, what is the truth? We say that truth is truth in God. Or rather, I will put it this way. Truth is God. God is truth. And everything that he has revealed about himself, his nature, and his character. God is truth, and truth is God, and everything that he has revealed about himself, about his nature, and about his character. Titus 1 verse 2 tells us, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. God cannot lie. Now, we know Numbers chapter 23, verse 19 to 20 says, God is not a man to lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Behold, I have received a command to bless, and he has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Now, God is truth. We have said God cannot lie, does not lie, and cannot lie. Number two, God does not make mistakes. That means that if God says you are a prophet, whether you like it or not, you will become a prophet. God does not make mistakes. Psalms chapter 19, verse 7 says that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. That means that the law of the Lord is perfect. God does not make mistakes. It is not a mistake that you are born a South Sudanese. It's not a mistake that you are in Juba. It is not a mistake that you are tall or short or black. God does not make mistakes. And there is no mistake in the word of God. And even he tells Job in Job 38, chapter 38, he asks him, verse 2, he asks him, who is it that darkens my counsel by words without knowledge? Verse 3, now prepare yourself like a man, and I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined the measurements? Surely you know, or did you stretch the line upon it? Can you imagine that? When he told him, prepare yourself like a man, and I will answer you. And I will ask you some questions. So God does not make mistakes. And also number three about the character of God is that God is reliable and is faithful, therefore he is dependable. God is reliable, he's faithful, and therefore he is dependable. And he tells in the book of Malachi chapter 3 verse 6 and 7, he says that, "For I am the Lord, I do not change, therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." Can you see that God says, "I am the Lord and I do not change"? And the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 to 13, it says that this is a faithful saying, "For if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself." So God is dependable. He's reliable. He cannot lie. And Hebrews 13 verse 8 tells us Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, what is truth? God is truth, number one. Number two is that the word of God is truth. The entirety, Psalms 119 verse 160, the Bible says the entirety of your word is truth. And every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. Psalms 119 verse 160. Psalms 119 verse 142 says, "Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth." So the word of God is truth. So God himself is truth. The word of God is truth. Number three, Jesus is truth. Tell your neighbor. Jesus says in John 14 verse 6, he said, "I am the way." John 14 verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." We're answering the question, what is truth? Because we are going back to integrity. It's alignment in thought, in character, in pattern, in actions to the truth. So if your alignment is to God, God is truth. We have seen the word of God is truth. We are seeing Jesus is truth. And then also the Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. And Jesus said, John 14 verse 15 to 18, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you." Verse 17, "The spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." So the Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. You can also read that in John 15, 26 to 27. "But when the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." John 16 verse 12 says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he shall guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come." And the last thing that I want to say, two more things about truth. One is that truth is the entire body of the Christian faith, teaching of the gospel that is revealed by Jesus. The entire body of the teaching of the Christian faith that is revealed in the gospel is also called truth. And even the scripture goes to refine it better. It calls it the present truth. That means that there is truth that was there in the Old Testament, which was okay for their time. But then there is something that is called the present truth. That means that what is revealed in the gospel, Jesus used to tell them, "It was said to you, it is okay an eye for an eye. But now I tell you, forgive your brother 70 times in a day. It was said to you, it is okay to divorce. But I tell you now, if you look at a woman lustfully, then you have committed adultery with her." That means that there was truth, yes, but now there is present truth. That means the things that were there in the old covenant have changed in the new covenant. Now, the entire body of teaching is the present truth. Now, for example, in Jesus, in John chapter 8, verse 31, he tells them, then Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That means the present truth shall make you free. And let us look at also Galatians chapter 2, verse 14. The Bible says that, when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before all of them, you, being a Jew, live in the manner of the Gentiles and not as the Jews. Why do you compel the Gentiles to live as the Jews? So, present truth. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. Okay, let me read verse 12. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. It says, for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. So the entire body of the teaching of the believers and of faith is the truth. And lastly, also, truth is also revealed in our actions. Truth is revealed in our actions. John chapter 3, verse 21, it says, but he who does the truth, look at it, he said, he who does the truth, that means actions. He who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done by God. You know, before that it says that everyone that practices righteousness comes to the light. But because men love darkness, their deeds are evil. But if you know the truth, if you do the truth, you come to the light. And Jesus said that the hour is coming, John chapter 4, verse 23, and has now come when the worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. That means in action. That means you cannot say with one, the same mouth you are worshipping God, and with the same mouth you are gossiping. With the same mouth you are abusing people. Then you are not in truth. Now, integrity has to be alignment to God. In simplicity, if you are walking in integrity, you are someone that is walking in alignment to the truth. Now, beyond just the truth that we know, if you look at the Old Testament, when they spoke of integrity, they spoke about uprightness. Now, uprightness was also referring to their righteousness. When David will say that, I have kept you in my integrity, in my righteousness, so we see that integrity is not only just about truth, it is also about uprightness. It is also about righteousness, and integrity is actually comes from the nature that you have. Okay? So there is a nature in each and every one of us that determines what kind of truth or what kind of integrity we work in. Now, I want to quickly speak about character. Character refers to the nature of a person, how they behave in a way that is consistent and repetitive in nature, by which they can be predicted or defined. I will repeat that. Character refers to the nature of a person, how they behave in a way that is consistent, repetitive in nature, and by which you can predict them or you can define them. Now, when I say the character of someone is a thief, that means that he did not just steal once. You understand? Like David, we can say that he committed adultery, but we cannot call his nature as an adulterer. Why? Because the moment he was brought to realization of his sin, he repented and he never went back to it again. Now, when we say the character of someone, we declare that this person, his behavior, his thoughts, his patterns have been repeated in nature, that we are sure if you leave him with money will disappear. The Bible describes that Judas was a thief. You know, by the time the Bible calls you a thief, you are really a thief. Because the Bible says, from time to time, he will take money from the coffers and use it for himself. If he had stolen one, imagine how Jesus is merciful. He stays with him, he's his disciple. When he sends the 12, the 72 to go and cast out demons, Judas is among them. He's casting out devils. He has seen the power. He's walking in the gift. But the scripture calls him a thief. Why? Because from time to time, he will put his hand. You know of family members that you cannot live in your house alone. The moment they come, everyone has to check their phones. You cannot leave the iPad hanging. And the moment they say they are leaving, you first say, hey, wait first. You scan quickly the environment. What is missing? If possible, you will even have a detector in the door. Please pass through this door. Why? Because their character has been proven that every time they appear, something disappears. So they appear, something disappears. Not like Jesus, eh? They appear, something disappears. So character is something that is repetitive in nature. By the time we say that someone, we give him a character, that this is an upright man, we have studied him. By the time the elders come and say, we want to make you a leader, we have observed your behavior. We have observed how you handle tough situations. We have observed how you deal with women. Because Paul sends Timothy and tells him, Timothy, treat the older men as your fathers. The younger men as your brothers. The older women as your mother. The younger women as your sisters. By the time he is sending him, he tells them, look at Timothy. He is a man who, as a man with his son, he has served with me in the gospel. And he knows about my way of life. If you follow him, you are sure that you are following me. And even Paul boasts and said, did any of the men that we sent to you, did any of them take advantage of you? No. Why? Because they walk in the same manner that I walk. So, when we are speaking of integrity and character, we are speaking ideally of the same thing, but we are speaking about the nature of a human being and what is it that defines them. Now, I want us to give us three angles that speak about what distinguishes the nature and the character of someone. Just a moment, yes. So, the nature can either be carnal, that is sinful, or spiritual. You can choose either to be a carnal man, that means you are, by nature, you are sinful. Or you can choose to be a spiritual man, where by nature, you are led by the Holy Spirit. Now, a carnal man can sing in the choir, but as he's singing, he's looking at ladies' buttocks. He can be prophesying, but as he's prophesying, he's seeing the beautiful ladies and telling them, you, I want to prophesy to you alone in the office. So, he might be showing signs of a gift, because the challenge with the spiritual things, there are people who are gifted, but gifts are gifts. You don't earn it. True or false? A gift is something that you are given. You don't earn it. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit gives to everyone just as he determines. The gift is given for the profit of all. Now, Jesus does not say you shall know them by their gift, but you shall know them by their fruit. Now, when we speak of integrity and character, we are speaking of the fruit. The gift is what you show to people. Your character or your fruit is what the Holy Spirit works in you. So, it is more important to have someone that has character, even though he's not gifted, than to have someone who is gifted without character. Because when he is gifted without character, he will be seeing ladies' underwear. He said, oh, this one, I see you have $5,000 in your account. Can you saw it as a sin? God gave him the gift to sin in the spirit. But he is using that gift to make himself rich. So he says, oh, I see there's a woman here.
She has $2,000 remaining. That $2,000, give it to the man of God. For sure, he has seen the $2,000. But the purpose of the $2,000 is not for him. But because he is not yet mature in character and in integrity, he uses it for his own benefit. So, you can choose either to be carnal, that is sinful, or spiritual. Number two, you can either choose by nature to be immature or mature. They are believers, yes, but some are immature. And others are mature. The immature, they want to be fed. Cry, complaining. Have you seen a baby? The baby, the job they do is to open their mouth and for food to enter. But the mature knows where to find the food. Goes to find the food, and when you come to church, you are not coming not primarily to be fed, but you're coming to fellowship. That's why the scripture says, when you come together, let one come with a song, let another come with a scripture, with a psalm. Why? Because it's a fellowship. Fellowship is about brothers of the same nature coming together to share the word of God. That means we are of the same nature. If you look at the early church, when they wanted to appoint deacons, people to just wipe tables and to give food, the qualification was very hard. They say, find for us men full of wisdom and of the Holy Spirit. That means in the early church, the qualification was not muscles of those who have gone to the gym. But they wanted men full of wisdom and full of the Holy Spirit. And you can think when Paul, that time he was Saul, when he's going to Damascus, Jesus does not come to the apostles. Jesus comes to a man called Ananias. Imagine he was just a member. And when he starts to speak to Jesus, he is not surprised that Jesus is speaking to him. That means the man does not have a title. He's not known as a pastor. He's not known as a deacon. He's not known as an apostle. But when Jesus looks for someone to send, to go and anoint Paul, he looks for a member. Why? Because everyone in the early church was as equipped with the capacity to be mature that they can stand and face persecution and be ready to die. But an immature Christian is not ready to die. They will say, "Man, I will repent tomorrow." They will say, "I will repent tomorrow." Then number three that I want us to see about the nature is there are those who are Christians, yes, but the one that is leading them is their self. On the throne of their heart, it is self, not Christ. Now, if it is you who is leading yourself, the Holy Spirit will step back. He is in you, yes, but if you decide to be the driver of your life, he will step back and watch you make mistakes. You start a job that you are not supposed to join. The Holy Spirit stepped back and allowed you to lead yourself. But when your nature is led by Christ, you allow Christ to take the front seat. You don't do anything without getting guidance from Him. We're talking about a life of integrity and character. It stems from the nature. Amen? Amen? Now let us going to read, we are going to read, and we let us look at the book of Daniel so that we can focus also on our core reading. And we are going to read from verse 1, and we will read maybe some verses there, and then we can pick some learnings from it. Amen? Daniel chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar came to Jerusalem and besieged it, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands with part of the vessels of the house of God, and he carried them into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. It's very important that we understand that the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. Then, verse 3, the king spoke to Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, or of his officials,
that he should bring some of the sons of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, youths in whom there was no blemish, who were handsome and skillful in every branch of wisdom and gifted with understanding and discerning knowledge, and as such had the ability in them to serve in the king's palace, whom they might teach the learning and the language of the Chaldeans or of the Babylonians. Then he appointed to them a daily provision of the king's food and of the wine which he drank. They were to be educated for 3 years, and at the end of it they might serve before the king. Now among them were the sons of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, to whom the commander of the officials gave names, and they gave to Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. Verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he will not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, food, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested the master of the officials that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and compassion with the master of the officials. The master of the officials said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse looking than the youths who are your age? Then you will endanger my head before the king. Then Daniel said to the steward whom the master had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before you and the countenance of the youths who eat the portion of the king's food. And as you see, deal with your servants. So he consented to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter than all the youths who ate the portions of the king's food. Thus the guard continued to take away the portion of their food and the wine that they were to drink, and he gave them vegetables. And for these 4 youths, God gave them knowledge and skill in every branch of learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all kinds of visions and dreams. Now verse 18, now at the end of the days that the king had set for them to be brought in, the master of the officials brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. The king spoke with them, and among them all none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they served before the king in all matters of wisdom and understanding, in which the king inquired of them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. Daniel continued even to the first year of King Cyrus. You see, when we speak of the Babylonian kingdom, we have to understand that the Israelites sinned. And because they sinned, you know, remember there were two kingdoms. There was the northern kingdom, which was the kingdom of Israel, and there was the southern kingdom, which was the kingdom of Judah. Now, the northern kingdom went into exile into Assyria, and they never recovered. That whole 10 tribes of Israel disappeared. But then the southern kingdom, which is the kingdom of Judah, which God kept for the sake of David, 2 tribes, Benjamin and Judah, were preserved, but they were taken also to exile. Now remember King Hezekiah, he had prayed to God, God, give me 15 more years. And God gave him 15 more years. But in those 15 years, enemies came. And he went and showed them every treasure that he had. Now because he showed them, God sent Isaiah and he told him, what did you do? And he said, oh, I showed them the house. And he said, I assure you, he will come and take your children. He will make your sons eunuch. You will all go into exile. And he told them, but because you loved God, it will not happen in your time. So this is a fulfillment that their prophecy and the punishment to the Israelites because of the sin of the nation. Now, we can see that Babylon wants to change these young people. And I want us to see what are the things that they did. Number one is they isolated them. They uprooted them from their hometown, took them into slavery, and they took them away from their families, from their homes, from their safety, and isolated them. You see, when the enemy is after changing you, after your integrity and your character, he isolates you. So these young boys, there were four of them. Thank God they were not alone. Daniel was not alone. Daniel was with three friends. They were taken, and they were taken into the king's service. Number two is they wanted to change their identity. You can see immediately they changed their names. Daniel Belteshazzar. Hananiah, he gave the name of Shadrach, Mishael, and Meshach, Azariah, and to Abednego. He changes their names. Why? Because who you are called is your identity. If you start calling you stupid, you become stupid. If I start calling you a thief, you find yourself becoming a thief. So the identity, and you see the identity was being changed to the names of their gods. So the enemy wants to change their names, their identity. Number three is education. You can see. The strategy of Babylon was isolate them, change their identity, educate them. Teach them the patterns, teach them the philosophy, teach them the education of the Babylonians. That is why we have an importance as Christians to have schools. Why? Because there are people who are bringing things into the education system to change the behavior and understanding of our children. I was reading a book, I saw someone had posted, where they are showing that they are teaching types of families. And they show their type of family. The first type of family is a father and a father. The second type of family is two fathers. The third type of family is two mothers. And this they are teaching to young children. And they tell the young children, it is okay if you think you are a girl in a boy's body. It is okay if you think you are a boy in a girl's body. Now, through the educational system, they can change and teach you, and you find that you used to believe in God, but you no longer have the faith. There are people who have even gone to Bible school and have come out atheists. Why? Because of their teaching. You meet professors, yes, they have PhDs, but they are no longer believing in God. Number four that they wanted to change is their language. You can see they wanted them to learn the language. When you learn the language of a people, maybe you never used to say some curse words, but because everyone around you just like saying F and F and F, even you find yourself saying F. Why? Because there is a language. Eh? Now, if you will find that the people you walk with, you will find that you speak like them. Even your family members, when someone calls, they will not distinguish which brother is this. Why? Because you people have lived together, that you have the same language. So they wanted them to know the language. And what does Babylon mean? You come from Babel. Confusion. Confusion. Number five that they wanted to be changed is worship, idolatry. That is why they were being offered food that is sacrificed to idols. The food, do you think there was something wrong with the food? Yes. Because before the food is brought to them, that's why we're being told he's taken to the temple of their god in China, to take it to the house of the treasures of their god in China. And when they are offered food, because they know many people have not yet controlled their stomach, their god is their stomach. That means that the moment they smell food, they say, we will fast tomorrow. They postpone fasting. Why? Because they have not mastered their stomach. Food can take you to hell. You know, when the women in the world, what they say, the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. So
you find this girl every day, she's bringing for you food. But do you think it's because she thinks you are thin? No. She's targeting your heart. Because your heart is closer to your stomach. They touch one another. When the heart is full, the stomach is full, the heart relaxes. Okay. Eh? True or false? So when you find food can take you to hell. And you see, this wife of mine does not cook for me good food. And that's why the woman complained, this man is no longer eating my food. Where have you eaten? That means, who is that is confusing you?
So men, make sure you eat your wife's food. Go home. If you find a woman is bringing you food, don't think she thinks you are thin. She's targeting you. Worship, worship. Daniel purposed that he will not defile himself by eating the food sacrificed to idols. Wine. And what is that they were trying to... You know, wine brings lack of self-control. And when someone is under taking wine, what happens? You are under influence. Mm. And you are given a different spirit that starts to control. It's just like drugs. When someone starts to take drugs, what happens is that they open avenue, they open a window where demonic spirit starts to give them another experience. And it starts to control them, and they find that they are controlled by a different spirit. And the Bible tells us, do not be drunk with wine, but rather be filled with the Holy Spirit. That means you need to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. The same way a drunk man is drunk with wine, is the same way you should be drunk with the Holy Spirit. That everything that you say, you wake up, you're just singing shakarabu. You're speaking in tongues. Why? Because you are filled and you are controlled by the Spirit. And the last thing that the enemy in their strategy wanted to deal with these young boys is corruption through employment and jobs. They want to enter into the king's service. Do you know what was their job title? Astrologers, magicians of the king. Why? Because those kings, they always knew they have the army, but they also have their wisdom, secret wisdom. But the Bible says, when they were examined of all the magicians and astrologers in the entire realm, none was found like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and they were found to be 10 times better. That means that it doesn't matter what the enemy does. He can even force you to enter into the system of the world, but in that system, can you still shine the light of Christ? Our thing is to shine the light. Can you be the light in that system? Can you be in the world but not of the world? And this is how they were. They were shining. Shining 10 times better. But you see, the enemy had a strategy. But then also, Daniel and his friends had a response to the strategy. Tell your neighbor, you must have a response to what the devil has prepared for you. Because the devil has prepared traps, systems, jobs, opportunities, career, you earn, but the guy tells you, you have to sleep with me. And nowadays, it is both men and women. It is not clear. You think the man is just liking you, but he's priming you. Before you know it, you wake up with pain behind somewhere, and you don't know what happened. Someone defiled you. Say, that will not happen to me. The response of Daniel. What was the response of Daniel? Number one, he purposed not to defile himself. He made a decision. You have to decide. You don't decide when the food is before you. You decide before. The problem, someone said, I'm not sure. Let me go and see. You make a decision before the food comes. You make a decision before the wine is offered to you. Why? Because many people, the reason they fall into challenges of integrity and character is because they have not made a decision to choose Christ. Why are you a target? When you are hungry, when you are angry, when you are lonely,
And when you are tired, people fail in four main areas when they are hungry. When Esau was hungry, he sold his birthright. Number two, when you are angry, you slap someone and the person dies. You find yourself in grief. Number three, when you are lonely, you have gone for a trip in Congo and you are just seeing beautiful women. Yellow, buttocks, breast. And they just say, oh boss, oh big man, what can I do for you? No one can see you. You know, some people say they are virgins, but if they are not virgins because they have good character. They are virgins because they don't have opportunity. The moment opportunity presents itself, they will forget virginity. They will say, this thing, who will know? This is not soap that anyone can see. After all, men, we are men, who will know? Just this virginity, no, I am holy. They just lack opportunity. Someone says, oh, me, I cannot steal. They just don't have opportunity. Or they fear they will be caught. You want to know a man is faithful to his wife? Give him money. The moment you give them money, you will discover the man will say, actually, I can marry another wife. Because in Juba, the moment men have money, they think of another wife. They're like, now I can afford another woman. Then you discover, hey, kumbe my husband did not love me, he was just poor. Food can take people to hell. And that is why God cannot bless some people, because the moment he blesses them, they are lost. God will rather keep you poor. Because if he keeps you poor, he keeps you near to him. Because Jesus said it is harder for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. But nothing is impossible with God. So if you are rich, don't worry, you can still go to heaven. Because nothing is impossible with God. With God, all things are possible, but it is still hard. Why? Because you cannot serve God and money. Some people want to serve God, but their heart is on money. The moment a deal comes, they forget about church. The moment they get promoted in the workplace, they find that, oh, it is too much to tithe. What are the pastors doing with the money we give them? Bring accountability. When they were poor, they never bothered about the church. They will actually go and ask for help. But now when they start giving $1,000 as tithe in the church, then they say, accountability. What have you guys done with the money we have been giving all this time? Pride enters. Pride enters. Daniel purposed not to defile himself. Number two, they also applied wisdom. They said, look here, don't be in a hurry. Give us vegetables. Test us and see. So you need wisdom in how to deal with the systems of men. There are times you don't need to approach things head on. There's a time to be quiet. There's a time to wait. There's a time to know this battle is not mine to fight. Let the elders fight it. Your time will come to solve some things. But let some things rest. Why? Because they applied wisdom. They said, oh king, you Ospenaz, give us some time. Test us and see. But also, they were not ignorant. They studied to know the language. They knew the language, but they were not defined by it. They were in a university for 3 years, and they studied, and the Bible says God gave them knowledge, understanding, wisdom, and beyond that he gave them supernatural understanding of visions and dreams. Also, they prayed to God, and they kept their consecration. We can see Daniel used to pray 3 times a day. Even when they put the notice that they should not pray, the Bible says now he went and opened his window. And 3 times he prayed. If we read the Bible, you see that he was even fasting. 21 days he was fasting. He decided he will not eat water, he will not eat meat or anything tasty, but just water and vegetables. Until the angel came We can see the Bible says that while he was watching, that means that he used to spend nights praying and watching.
In watchings, he would watch. Consecration. And the Bible tells us that while through study he discovered that the desolation of Israel should be 70 years. That means that he also used to study the word of God. You have to have spiritual disciplines if you're going to be alive, having a life of integrity and character. The Bible also tells us that when they tried to find any fault in the life of Daniel, they did not find anything that he had done or failed to do. They found no error in his work. That means he did not have any sin of commission or omission. You know, 1-0 can make a difference, eh? When you write a check for someone, with 5 zeros is 100,000. With 6 zeros is 1,000,000. Now, when someone is, he knows he's the one who writes the check. But when it is signed by the people, he writes 5 zeros. It is signed. But when it is coming to him, he adds another zero. Integrity, lack of integrity and character. Another thing that they stayed faithful even in the midst of trials and persecutions for their integrity. You are going to suffer when you want to do the right thing. I assure you, he that wants to live a godly life will face persecutions. If you want to do the right thing, you will be opposed. Why? Because people come to the office and they write that they came at 8 and they are coming at 10. But you come and you write your time. And everyone cannot write after you. So you become a problem. If you're going to be alive with a life of integrity and character, you need to be ready to face persecution. And Daniel and his friends were thrown into the den of fire, into the den of lions, were thrown into the burning flame. But yet they trusted God to deliver them. Amen? And they were not afraid to speak against the king.
Remember when Belteshazzar, the son of Nebuchadnezzar, when the writing on the wall appears, many, many tekel are sent. And he comes and says, he's offered, I will give you gold. Anyone who can interpret this, then he said, my friend, keep the money for yourself. Or give them to anyone you wish. But I will tell you what the writing says. Your deeds have been weighed and you have been found wanting, and your kingdom shall be taken away from you. If you tell a king like that, what happens? They chop your head. Huh? They chop your head like that. But the man did not fear. Why? Because he knows what authority he carries. They said, this man had the spirit of his God. The mother reminded him, there was a man in your father's kingdom whom you had thrown away. They had said, the spirit of the God is in him. Go and call him, he will interpret. And the man came in, he don't say, go and pray later. Let me pray first. He said, Papa, these are the writings of my mom. So Daniel grew in his prophetic gift. He grew in his understanding. He grew in spiritual things. You must grow. If you are the same way you are when you got saved, then there's a problem. Amen? Also, God did something. And this is the third thing that I want us to look. God gave them favor with men. God gave them wisdom and understanding. God revealed to them mysteries of the dreams. God sent them angelic help from time to time. God delivered them from the mouth of lions and the fiery furnace. And God revealed the future to them. We can see Daniel having some of the most accurate prophecies of the end times. In the Old Testament, there's no one who has accurate prophecies of the end times apart from Daniel. If you read the book of Revelation, you have to link it to the book of Daniel. Why? Because God revealed to him. So we can see the enemy had a strategy. The young people had a response to it. And when they responded in a way that is in alignment to God, God gave them favor. God gave them victory. God never left them. And I can assure you today that God will never leave you when you choose Him. God will send you help from above. God will give you wisdom and understanding. God will give you favor with men. And God will deliver you from the mouth of the dangers and the lions.
You know, whenever we look at the Old Testament, the Bible says it is appointing, it points to Christ.
Have you ever thought that Daniel is a type of Christ?
Can we examine Daniel, the correlation of Daniel and Christ? Number one, we see that they both were eunuchs, or rather they both never had children. You know, when they entered into the kingdom, the sons of the king, they were castrated. That is why we are not told of Daniel's children. Jesus did not have any offspring. Number two, we can see that they had the spirit of Christ. Why? Because they were given an excellent spirit, a spirit of wisdom. The Holy Spirit manifests in wisdom, in revelation, in prophecy, in understanding of dreams. So you can see the wisdom that was on Daniel is the same wisdom that was in Christ. Why? Because it says, now one greater than Solomon is here. Number three is they faced temptation and overcame them. Can you see the temptation of being thrown into the den of lions? Lions. And you are there. Jesus went into the grave. And the devil thought he overcame him and he came out. They rolled the stone over Daniel. And also Christ, they rolled the stone. But in the morning, King Darius came and said, Daniel! Can you imagine the king had more faith than all these other... You have thrown someone into lions, and in the morning you're calling his name. That means that you have faith that this man, his God is great. And for sure his God is great, because he called out and he said, oh king, God sent an angel and he shut the mouth of the lion. And the lions were seeing another lion walking with them. Why do you think they did not attack it? They saw another lion. Hey!
And they said, this one we cannot attack. This one is one of us.
But when those other guys came in, they were, the Bible says that even before they touched the ground, the lions were crushing them. Can you imagine? They are crushed in the net. Entire family. But when Daniel entered, they said, hey, the lion has entered. And that is why when Jesus, you can see how they face the temptations of the world, food and wine and all the delicacies of the kingdom of Babylon. And Jesus, the devil, offered him all the kingdoms of the world and told him, if you bow to me, if you turn this bread into stone into bread. You can see the temptation. They face similar temptations. The Christocentric view of Daniel. Number four, we can see the life of service. They both served in administration. You can see the service that Daniel and his friends give. They were put the highest, they were given authority. And Jesus also came to serve the world. He said, I am one among you and he that serves. We can see how they were falsely accused. Number five, they were falsely accused, but the Lord delivered them from and made them victorious. Jesus too was falsely accused. Crucified, but the Lord delivered him from the grave. Amen. Number, you can also carry on and see the wisdom operating in their lives. You can see the spirit of prayer and fasting, how Jesus prayed and fasted, how Daniel and his companion prayed and fasted. You can see the life of integrity. They did not sin, and likewise Jesus too had no sin. You can see how they used to give glory to God. Daniel will say, it is not me who has this wisdom, but only this wisdom and revelation comes from God. And you can see how Jesus used to give glory to the Father. You can see how they spoke against the institutions. Daniel was active against Belteshazzar, and Jesus also spoke against the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he also spoke and told, go and tell that fox. When you're speaking of Herod, they were in the world, but not of the world. You are in the world and not of the world. I'm going to conclude and I will ask ourselves, how can we live a life of integrity and character? Number one, you must be born again. You cannot live a life of integrity and character without being born again. And you purpose to grow in maturity through practicing the spiritual disciplines. We have looked at prayer, we have looked at fasting, we have looked at study of the Word of God. You must be born again, and when you are born again, you receive the nature of Christ. Only anyone that has the Christ in him and that is living in the nature of Christ can live a life of integrity and character. Why? Because you are led by the Spirit of God and you allow the Holy Spirit to live through you, and the life you live in the body, you crucify the flesh and its passions and you live for Christ. Amen? Number two, you can live a life of integrity and character by not conforming to the pattern of this world. You have to purpose to be different in the world but not of the world. Job 31 says, I made a covenant with my eyes that I will not look upon a young maiden. That means if you look at another version, he says that I made a covenant with my eyes that I will not undress a lady with my eyes. What is lust? Undressing her. You are walking around and you are just undressing ladies with your eyes. Job said, I will make a covenant in my eyes and I will not look upon a young woman lustfully. You need, for you to live a life of integrity, you need to purpose to be different. Number three, you need to depend on the Holy Spirit's guidance in everything to be an effective servant of Christ to the world. You cannot live a life of integrity and character without depending on the Holy Spirit. You have to depend on the Holy Spirit. Number four, you cannot run. Do not run this journey alone. Daniel was not alone. He had friends and companions. He stood firm with his brothers. He called upon them to pray with him. I tell you, if you're struggling in an area of addiction, maybe it is pornography, maybe it is stealing, maybe it is immorality, speak to someone and tell them, by the way, I'm struggling with this, pray with me. And tell them to hold you accountable. You need people to walk in this journey of faith. If you find you're alone, you're an easy target for the devil. The Bible says he moves around like a lion. He's not a lion, like a lion. The only lion we know is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. And he has prevailed. So the devil looks around like a lion, looking for whom to eat and whom to destroy. But if he finds you walking with others, when you are weak, they strengthen you. When you have challenges, they cover you and they strengthen you. And number five, which is the last, you need to trust in the deliverance of the Lord, even in the midst of persecution, because of the choices that you have made to walk in a life of integrity. Number one, I've said you need to be born again and receive the nature of Christ. And you purpose to grow in maturity through practicing of spiritual disciplines. Number two, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Be purpose to be different in the world but not of the world, and live a life of integrity. Like Job made a covenant with his eyes. Number three, depend on the Holy Spirit's guidance in everything to be an effective servant of Christ to the world. Number four, do not run the journey alone. Work with your brothers. Daniel was not alone. He stood firm with his brothers in the faith. And number five, we need to trust in the deliverance of the Lord, that even in the midst of persecution, he will come and rescue us. Hallelujah.